I'm curious to know whether you think the issue of native species becoming extinct in this country is something that we should be more concerned about, something that we should be talking more about, something that politicians, governments, all levels should be addressing. Some are calling it an extinction crisis in this country, in fact saying that Australia is losing more biodiversity than any other developed country. Common species, whether it's the cuddly koalas, the gangang cockatoos, bogong moths, plus a whole range of species here in the tropical north, we're losing them forever. It doesn't get, of course, the type of attention that cost of living, rising interest rates, petrol prices, crime, a whole bunch of other topics get. But extinction, an extinction crisis. Should we be more worried about it? I think we should. Certainly my next guest thinks that we should. Her name is Sarah Beckesy. Now, Sarah is a professor in sustainability and urban planning at RMIT University. Sarah, welcome to the King Review, first of all.
Thanks very much for having me.
You've just issued, I guess, almost a bit of an intervention in this federal election campaign. Just having a go at the major parties for remaining silent on what you're certainly calling Australia's extinction crisis. We hear a lot of, some people might call it alarmism around things like climate change or the Great Barrier Reef, but tell us, paint a bit of a picture on a national scale and even a regional scale, if you can. How bad is this situation in terms of extinction of so many vital species in our country?
Yeah, well, it might surprise a lot of listeners to this show who, like, you know, most of us, are really passionate about our unique plants and animals in this country, that we are losing more biodiversity than any other developed nation. Now, species that we once thought were common, like gangang, cockatoos, bogong moths, koalas, they're now listed as threatened with extinction. And those species that are already listed are losing a lot of their population size. So you're seeing fewer animals, in the wild than ever before. Mm. So, together with fires and floods and droughts, land clearance, feral animals, a lot of people are calling it an extinction crisis. And, we consider this to be important because we care about those plants and animals, but also because nature underpins our health, our economy, our national identity, our Aboriginal culture. It supports massive tourism industry. So it's really quite tragic to be losing so much of it. And, North Queensland is not immune to this. There's more than 500 species that are threatened with extinction in northern Queensland. Mm. And many of them are things that people probably know and love and would hate to think of losing.
Apart from all of those factors, Sarah, to me it's just incredibly sad, as much as anything, to think that there are some incredible native species that we will never, ever see again. I know at our place, my two kids occasionally spot a green tree frog. My 10-year-old will often correct me and point out that it's a white-lipped green tree frog, apparently. But they bring such joy, every time you see them. They are absolutely beautiful little creatures. And the thought of never seeing them around again, it's sad more than anything else as well.
Absolutely. Sounds like my 10-year-old son and your 10-year-old son should get together because, my 10-year-old son would be correct me on the name.
Yes, on the name of the
snake in our backyard, and most people would run, but he wants to pick it up and I just
exactly.
Quiet. But now, I completely agree with you. And frogs, I think, are a good example of something, a species that are really in trouble in North Queensland. Mm. So many of them, and like really unique species like the gastric brooding frogs, frogs that actually gestate in their stomachs, extraordinary kind of unique animals. So we can all lose some of these things unless we really put a lot of effort and attention into bringing them back from the brink.
Have you got examples, Sarah, about some key species that we have,
sure,
in fact lost in this country?
Species. We've lost a lot of species, unfortunately. Over 100 are definitely extinct, probably more because, many of them would have gone extinct without us even noticing. A recent Queensland example was the bramblecane melomese, which actually we knew it was going extinct and we basically just let it happen.
Now, these are a little native mouse rat.
Now, that's right, yeah. Which, you know,
beautiful little Melanies,
extraordinary things. And, you know, what a terrible record to have on our watch that we just let something slip into extinction like that. Mm. But, yeah, plenty of other things have sadly gone extinct from northern Queensland. I was reading a little bit in this preparation for this interview about the Percy Islands flying fox, a really unique species that went extinct, I think, in the 1940s. But lots of things just on the edge, you know. As I said, a lot of your frogs are really threatened in part through disease, but also people think sometimes through climate change is having a big impact, as probably you all are aware of. In North Queensland, in part through changes in temperature. There are lots of species that live, you know, right at the top of their range on the tips of mountains in North Queensland that are really threatened because they've got nowhere to go. They can't go to somewhere cooler. But there are other species like in the Atherton Tablelands that rely on an ecosystem that is, you know, the Marby Forest, critically endangered. It only occurs in tiny patches now. It's been cleared to within an inch of its life. And, you know, species like the tree kangaroos are really threatened with now because of their loss of habitat. Mm. So I think diseases, climate change, habitat clearance, you know, there
and feral animals. Fires. Feral animals feral as well. Animals, a huge problem.
So
yeah.
It's a bit of a kind of, you know, basically what we're saying is that we need major investment to turn this around now. We need to really take this issue seriously, especially if we kind of consider the links between our own health and the health of our biodiversity.
Mm. You're hearing from Professor Sarah Beckesy. She's from RMIT. Sarah, is the problem here in terms of particularly the major parties not really debating or talking or putting forward solutions to this extinction crisis? Is part of the problem is that it doesn't really affect us directly, if I can put it that way. It's, you know, if there's a frog in a small patch of rainforest somewhere, or there's a melamy, you know, somewhere, that it doesn't sort of affect us perhaps the way that, you know, petrol prices, for example, do. Is that a problem in trying to get action on this problem?
Look, perhaps you're right, but you know, reflect for a moment on how much Australia's identity is tied to the plants and animals that we have here that are just so, you know, extraordinarily unique. And just reflect for a moment just on how much our economy depends on the very persistence of those, some of those species.
Tourism, of course, massive tourism industry.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of my personal passions is the link between health and nature. And I mean, perhaps it wasn't as harsh in northern Queensland as it was in Melbourne, but, you know, we spend a lot of time inside our houses during COVID lockdowns, and it became so apparent that the people with nature near where they lived were so much better off than the people without nature.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's really brought into sharp focus that our health is totally intertwined with the health of our natural environment. So yes, it doesn't sort of occur to you as you're filling up your petrol tank. And I think the other problem is something called shifting baselines, where, you know, we once used to hear certain birds or certain species that once they're gone, you kind of get used to them not being there. So, you know, the gang cockatoos, for example, have got such a unique sound, and you're not hearing them so much anymore. Well, that's because they're now listed as threatened with extinction. So, I think perhaps the urgency is not really being embraced as much as it should be at a federal level.
Well, it's a question of our national identity. That's when you put it that way, that is for sure. And I guess finally, Sarah, let's just have a quick look at possible solutions. The Greens, of course, in this campaign announced a $24 billion policy to achieve zero extinctions by 2030. What does that involve? Will it work?
Look, certainly we suggest that there are two big things that we need to do: spend more and clear less. It's pretty simple. And that's certainly the platform that the Greens are pushing. We know that we need stronger laws. We need more investment. We need better monitoring of what's going on. And things like ministerial discretion, so that really we should be getting rid of those kinds of things so that we can have a much more rigorous system for protecting threatened species. But, You know, I think the thing I'd like to highlight is that this does not need to be in, this can be a benefit to our economy and to our lifestyles. It doesn't have to be just a cost. You know, when you think about the nature-based solutions that we can have to designing our cities, as an example, everyone can win. We can have nature thriving and we can have people with, you know, improved livability at the same time. So they're the kind of solutions that I think that some people are starting to perceive. They're not, you know, nature doesn't have to be in conflict with how we with us thriving.
And I guess the issue of designing cities better, that basically means that councils have a role to play here. This is not just a big federal government, multi-billion dollar issue. I mean, in terms of designing cities to prevent the extinction of flora and fauna, I mean, approving subdivisions without any green space, without any green corridors, for example, which certainly has happened here in Cairns, that's for sure. I mean, so it just kind of proves that, you know, everyone has got a role to play, from individuals, councils, right up to the feds and the major parties.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. But, you know, let's see it as an opportunity, because, you know, we can grow our cities in many different ways and we don't have to be knocking down critically endangered habitat. There's plenty of scope for and plenty of kind of degraded land that we can actually, you know, use principles like biodiversity sensitive design to actually be regenerative for biodiversity. So have housing, but also space for nature. And they're better places to live than places that are devoid of nature.
Absolutely. All right. It is a huge topic. Like I said, it doesn't get the attention it deserves. And as you said earlier in our chat, I think the urgency is not getting across. That's Professor Sarah Beckesy. She's from RMIT. Sarah, thanks so much for your time on the King Review today.
It's an absolute pleasure.